Whoa. I'm all good. As we're passing out communion, something struck me this morning. The devil's glad we're here today. He hopes we just contain what's happening in here and not taking it out there. So when we're in here, we're contained. And if we just go home and don't do anything with it and just sit at home all week long thinking about it and not doing anything with it, devil's happy with that. Devil's not happy when we take this out those doors, when we go out the gates, when we take it to the park, when we take it to our work. He's not happy about that. So if you're just content sitting in here and not doing anything with what's going on with here, the devil's happy with you too. Thank you. Didn't get the bread. All right. Lord's Supper. He told us to do this in remembrance of Him. I'll read for you the words out of the Bible. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let's take the bread in remembrance of Jesus. Drink of the cup in remembrance of the covenant He has made. Could I have those of you that are going to be leaving stand? We're going to pray for you. Prayer of you. Toby. All right, I asked the group that are leaving us to stand. We're going to pray over them. Ray, could you pray over the group that's leaving? Yes, you can go to the middle. All right, if everybody would like to stand, we'll pray over. I asked Ray to pray. If anybody else would like to pray after Ray, you're welcome to.
All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this group. Thank you for, Father, every minute leading us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is always faithful. If we submit ourselves to you, you're faithful to lead us. Thank you for every moment of this day, and I thank you, Father, that you will continue to lead this group as they go to the park and just minister in your name. And whatever that looks like, Father God, we trust you to lead and guide. And we trust, Father, that the truth of your word will be spoken and that people's hearts will be opened up and that your Holy Spirit would speak loud today to the hearts of people that they meet with today. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray this.
Father, we ask you to go before them and prepare the soil and give the children in town eyes to see and ears to hear.
Lord, thank you that, as Daryl said, these young ones are an example to us that they're not just leaving it in this building, Lord. They're actually going out, and we pray, as the others have already prayed, that your blessing go before them and around them and beside them, and that your word would produce fruit as they sow seeds. Thank you for this.
Father, I'd ask that you open the eyes of their hearts, that they would not just see the physical, Father, but that they would see the spiritual too. The way that you are moving, Father God, that you would just open their eyes to see that, even in the lives of those that don't know you, as they reach out and touch them, Father. For those that they are touching, may their hearts be open to receive, and that even if they don't speak the name of Jesus, Father God, they see Jesus. That they see Jesus in these young people who are going out there. So, Father, open the eyes of their hearts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lord Jesus, please help the young and youth, even if they're rejected, to keep going back.
Yeah.
We love you so much, Lord. Amen.
When I was worshiping earlier, I saw just a huge bright light in the park, and the darkness just fled. Mm-hmm. It just fled from all those kids. And that we are going to be the light to them. Jesus is going to be the light to them, and they're going to see.
Thank you guys for prayers.
Hey, I got one more. Yesterday we talked about things settling in our gut. Embarrassment, fear, rejection, lies. And a while ago, the Lord gave me a picture of, like, keep SVU out of it, but like an SVU interrogation room where the light is really bright. And when people are under the interrogation light and you're true and it's true, it doesn't sweat, and if it's a lie, it will sweat and it will disseminate. So I applaud you guys, and I welcome you. And if there's anything that you have that we need to put in the heat and we need to burn it out, we will right now, because you guys going out there is scary, and you don't want people to walk away and be crazy and be embarrassed and be rejected, but those are all lies, and they don't stand. So anything that you have can be put in that light and it can disseminate. And anything that's true in you, the courage, the bravery, the passion, the conviction to go and speak the name of Jesus to his creation. Because the Bible says that the world knows him. They know. So you're just pulling it out. And that's going to grow. So I just applaud you guys. This is great.
Well, as these guys are clearing out, if you want to greet your neighbor and shake some hands, I got to get a drink because my mouth's dry from that cracker.
Half of them left.
I know. All the smart ones.
Last night, nice. David was talking to our dog in Portuguese, and the dog was so confused.
If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the youth that are going to take up the challenge to go to the park and whoever they run across just to spend some time with and share your love with them. Heavenly Father, I just pray that that infects the community. I pray that what they do today will reach many doors around the community. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll send the people that need to hear your love today, to see your love displayed, send them to the park. Lord, we pray for good weather. We pray for an opportunity that they have to share. Even if it's only one, if there's one person that needs to hear you today, Lord, we just pray that you send them to the park. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for their willingness to go. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your words. We're thankful for what's happening this week, the celebration that we have for what you've done for us. And Heavenly Father, we remember and we want to share that with others, Lord, what you've done for us. Heavenly Father, we ask for blessings upon your words this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we know, this week is, or today is, Palm Sunday, and we're going to read that in Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." When we read here, they said that this fulfilled a prophecy. So Jesus was clear on what he was doing when he was going into Jerusalem riding the donkey. So the people that seen him, that were following him, knew. And in my mind, I hadn't recognized this, or maybe it dawned on me again, that not all the crowds of people knew who he was or what was going on. There were some that were following him and some that were aware of the miracles that he did and things that were going on. Some maybe have heard some word of mouth that, hey, this Jesus is doing some things. But when he came in on the donkey, that surprised some people. And as we read it, said they asked, "Who is this?" So not all the crowds or people that were around in the city actually knew what was going on. This was a surprise for them to see that there was a prophecy and this guy was doing something that was prophesied. So they wanted to know who he was. Who is this man? And the crowd answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Tammy and I went to watch the first of the Chosen videos or movies that are out here recently. I don't know if anybody else has seen those. We forgot about the number two and missed it when it came out in the theater. But on there, they depicted the scene of Jesus arriving in Nazareth. And it was, I guess, amazing to me when I seen him coming in, or when he was coming into Jerusalem, all the other stuff that was going on. People living their lives, doing their business, and things going on as he was coming in. They showed the scene of him turning over the money changer tables and the people that were in the courtyard. So they showed that type of stuff with all these people, and I guess in my mind I'm thinking Jerusalem was just this little village that Jesus was going into. But this wasn't. This was a major city with a lot of people there. So as Jesus came in and word of mouth came in that he's declaring that he's the Messiah, that he's riding on the donkey to fill that prophecy, I can see how it angered the people that didn't know, that hadn't followed him, that they saying, what is this guy doing? Because he's fulfilling this prophecy and he's coming in thinking he's the Messiah. Without knowing all the signs and wonders that he did in the past, I could see how they could be angry at this without knowing. They had a misunderstanding of what was going on. But Jesus was clear on who he was. There was no question on what that he knew who he was, and he was portraying that to people, that he was coming in to fulfill that prophecy riding on the donkey. He was crystal clear on that. It made me think, which I know we've preached on this before, and this is a familiar with you, but if you turn over to Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read about the rich young ruler in chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. And Jesus started on his way. A man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have to give to the poor. And then you'll have treasures in heaven, then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for a rich man or rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Sometimes we fall in the trap of the rich young ruler where we just want to follow a list of do's and don'ts, and we just want a checklist. I got to do this, this, and this to accomplish that. So the rich young ruler, when he started out, his first question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? I've heard it said recently, if somebody asks for your testimony and you have the word I in it, you miss the boat. Because it's not about I, it's about Jesus. It's about what he did. And so the rich young ruler said, hey, I followed all these rules. I did all these things that you said. I followed the Ten Commandments. You know, what else do I need to do? And so he missed the boat. It wasn't about what he did. It's about what Jesus was doing and what Jesus... So Jesus was basically telling him, you're holding something ahead of me. There's something. And sometimes we do that too, that something we'll put before God. And that it's we may be struggling with that we haven't released to God and given it to God. For this man, it was his riches. But for others, it could be any number of things that we want to hold on to and not put God first. To boil it down, basically God was, or Jesus was telling him, put me first. Put me in front of everything else. I want all of you. I don't want part of you. I want all of you. So with his I statement, what do I need to do? What he needs to do is just put Jesus in front of the I. Put Jesus in front of everything else. We turn back to Matthew chapter 21. A lot of the people that were in Jerusalem at that time that were watching and seeing the Messiah had the misconception of who Jesus was. They had a misconception of what the Messiah was there to do. You know, they were certainly the Pharisees seeing him on the colt. That wasn't what they wanted for a Messiah. You know, even though it was prophesied, that's what was going to happen. They wanted a conqueror. They wanted somebody to overthrow Rome. They wanted somebody that would right all their wrongs here on earth. They weren't thinking kingdom focused. They weren't thinking about that Jesus was setting it right for eternity, not just here on earth. So they didn't want to recognize him for who he was. But the crowds that recognized him in verse 9 went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Those people understood who Jesus was. Those people understood what he was there for. He wants 100% of us. He wants 100% of everybody. I'm amazed how that works out, how he gives us the freedom to choose, how we have the choice to follow him, and how he gave us free will to do that, but yet he asks us to follow him 100%. So is that a contradiction that we have free will, we can do whatever we want? No, it's because out of love. If we didn't have free will, there would be no love. If we were robots just following him because we had to, that wouldn't be love. So with that free will, since we have the choice to do good or evil, to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus, that's demonstrating our love for Jesus, that we're using that free will to choose to love him, to follow him, to accept what he did for us. He didn't have to do to die on that cross for us. He didn't have to raise from the grave, but he did it out of love for us. I'm amazed by that, that we have free will, we have the right to choose to follow him or not follow him. But we know if we don't follow him, we'll be separated from all the goodness for eternity. Everything good comes from Jesus. Everything good comes from God and the Holy Spirit, that they work through us when we follow him. And without him, there's not goodness. We see it in the world. I was listening to an atheist talk about where he'd like to live. And he said, hands down, any nation that's a Christian nation. And he hadn't put it together why, but he said just the values that the Christian has are hands down better than any other nation in the world. And the guy that was actually a debate was asking, well, why do you think that is? Well, they're just better people. He said, because they follow the Bible. Jesus instructs us how to live. And he just hadn't put it together. He's like, well, any nation that's a Christian nation is the best place to live in the world. By hands down, you can see that. When you look at the other nations and the values that they have, if we have biblical values and follow what Jesus teaches us, that's a pretty safe place to be. It's a pretty good place to live. Here's my question today. Is there anything holding you back from giving 100% to Jesus Christ? Is there anything holding you back that you're hanging on to that you need to let go? Is there anything that God searches in your soul that says, give that to me, hand that over to me? Sometimes I hold my stress or my worry too much and I don't give it to God. And I think about things and I think, well, how can I figure this out? And then it realizes me, I don't have to figure it out. I'm going to give it to God. And if it gets figured out, it gets figured out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's not my problem. So I hand that over to God. Is there anything keeping you on the sidelines today that you're just standing back? I think it's neat how we're set up today. I can just imagine Jesus walking down and we're all focused on him coming down the road. And so if he's coming down the road, is there anything keeping you back? Is there anything holding you back today that you wouldn't want to follow him? That you wouldn't want to sing Hosanna to him? That you wouldn't want to follow? I pray that you give that up, that you hand it to him and lay that at his feet. So we all have the decision to make whether or not we're going to trust him and follow him, but he's found himself to be trustworthy. And sometimes things don't happen in our timing, or things don't happen the way we want it or in under our understanding. But what he does is right. What he does is correct. And when he leads us and guides us and he puts something in your heart, it's for the good. And he's pushing us. He's encouraging us. I think about the disciples. They could have stayed in their safety in their little groups and not gone out, but Jesus told them to go out among all nations and share. And they did. He put some pressures and some government things that helped scatter them. But he scattered them among all nations, and that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us just to come in here on Sunday morning and not do anything with it. He wants us to take it out and share with others. You all could stand with me. I want us all to read out Chapter 21, verse 9 together. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read it three times, and I want to get louder each time. Verse 9. We're just going to start with a Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we know what's coming. We've had this Bible to be able to read ahead and see what's going to happen next. Heavenly Father, we're humbled and to share in your glory. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the saving grace that you offer us. Heavenly Father, we know it's not about us, but it's all about you. It's not about what we did, but it's about what you have done. Heavenly Father, we know that you love us. We know that you sacrificed for us. Heavenly Father, we know that you even sacrificed for those that don't believe. But Heavenly Father, we know that you wish that none would perish, but that all would spend eternal life with you. Heavenly Father, you've given us the job, the glorious burden to share with our neighbors. And Heavenly Father, it's just sharing your story. It's sharing your love with our neighbors, our family. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this burden. We're thankful for the opportunities you give us to share your love. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for you proclaiming on the donkey as you came that you are the Messiah. We're thankful for all the gifts and the wonders that you showed us in the Bible. We're thank you for this living word that speaks to us. And Heavenly Father, as we read it, we get to hear from you. Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit, for the fulfillment that you fill us with. Lord, we pray for the youth as they're down in the park now, that some may be coming to them. Heavenly Father, to talk to them, to play games, and to get to know them. And Lord, we just pray that your hand will be on there. We pray that your presence will be felt. We pray that you drive out the darkness in this community. Lord, we pray that your light will shine bright. Heavenly Father, above all else, we're just thankful and humbled to be called yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.